Proverbs 13 and verse number 11. And we read this, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." Now, if you'll go to chapter 14 and look at verse 23, chapter 14, verse 23. "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." And then if you'll go over to Proverbs 21, verse number 25, Proverbs 21. And verse number 25, the Bible says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we look on into this matter of stewardship and what the Bible has to say about money and materialism, that you would help us, Lord, to align our lives with the Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the help that you offer in the Bible to us when it comes to this important subject. Lord, may our hearts be open and receptive, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we taught on the subject of stewardship and then also addressed the danger of the love of money. And so stewardship in review is simply an understanding that we have from the Scripture that everything belongs to the Lord. And anything that the Lord gives us or allows us to have, we are simply stewards of. All belongs to God. And then also the warning of the love of money. Think about that. The love of money is the root of all evil. Boy, I had to stop and take a brand new fresh look at that verse because I think there's a lot of evil in this world. And if the love of money is the root of all evil, then as Christians, we need to very much guard against it. And I brought Brother Joe up here and he helped me. And I mentioned to all of us that, folks, we have a master that owns everything and he gives us some things. What we've got to be careful of is that the love is not misdirected towards the things that he gives us, but instead is pointed towards the one who gives us it to us. And so we covered stewardship and the warning against the love of money. Tonight, I want to cover two main subjects, the importance of the work ethic, and then also we're going to look at the subject of income. And if you're going to be financially responsible, then you have to have a source of income. Now, the Bible teaches that the primary source of income should come through labor, The Bible emphasizes the importance of labor. It commends the diligent man and condemns the slothful and wasteful man. When it comes to the importance of hard work, folks, the Bible doesn't pull any punches. It is a Bible principle, Bible mandate that we are willing to work. God blesses the man or woman who's willing to work. The primary source of our income should come from diligent labor. The Bible says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor," here's a promise, "shall increase. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." So you can sit around talking all day. That's not getting the job done, okay? That's going to put you in the poorhouse. Roll up your sleeves and get to work. Proverbs 21, 25, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." So the primary source of our income should come from diligent labor. And I think next week I'm going to bring a small box and illustrate this and bring it this week. But I'm going to bring a small box and illustrate this. If you'll view your financial situation as just a box. And income places money inside the box, okay? It's very simple. When you are out there earning or there's some revenues, different ways for money to flow into the box, that is all falls underneath the umbrella of income. And then anytime you reach into the box and you have to take money out and distribute it, that's output. Income, output, okay? And so the Bible tells us that the number one way that God will help us to funnel money into the box is through labor. By the way, this isn't a curse. Labor's not a curse. It's a gift of God to be able to have the strength and health to go to work every day. Folks, gentlemen, that's a blessing. So many blessings that will come to the man who is just willing to get up every day and go to work. There's so many problems that will come into the life of a man who is unwilling to just get up every day and go to work. Now, young men, in your youth, be sure that you're developing a strong work ethic. The Bible talks about diligence and commends the diligent man all through the scriptures. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines diligence thus: steady in application to business. I like this. Steady in application to business. Consistent effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Exertion of body or mind without unnecessary delay or sloth, to give due attention, and then the word industrious. If you're willing to work hard, then you can be assured by the promises of the Bible that you will be financially blessed. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A diligent man not only is to put in the effort to achieve the prize, but he also prizes the prize, right? It is one of the things, it's one thing to work hard to earn money. It's another thing to properly manage the money you earn. So the Bible not only warns against a slothful man, but he also warns against the waster. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. And you will find a segment of society that is willing to work hard, but they don't know how to manage their money. And so what they do is they blow their money. They spent all the time hunting and they killed the deer and then they left it laying in the woods. They let it spoil. They let it go to rot. They didn't get the maximum benefit out of it. And so the Bible goes on to warn us that he that also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is the great waster. For some people, they haven't developed proper work ethic. Other people work very hard and because of that, they generate income, but they have the tendency to be a waster, and so they don't manage that their finances well, and they end up being the same place in the end that the slothful man is. So the Bible warns against both. The warnings against slothfulness, folks, I could take more time on this, but I want you to imagine this. Imagine picking up the paper and looking in the ad section of your local paper, and some man who's wanting a job puts this ad in the paper. Desperately need employment. I am sloppy, half-hearted, distracted, disinterested, lazy man who is seldom on time, frequently calls in sick, and only does half a job when I do show up. If interested, then you put your phone number. Please call anytime afternoon, but not in the evening while I'm watching TV. How many of you are going to make that call and hire that guy? Well, you may not write that in the ad, but you're going to gain a reputation if you are a slothful person, and pretty soon people are not going to want you. They're not going to hire. There's a reason employers want references. They want to talk to where you worked the last three times, because if they talk to those employers and they don't get a good report, they don't want to waste time. Be careful of the reputation that you're building, okay? There's all kinds of Bible warnings against slothfulness. Now, let me just wrap it up and say this. I've got a little section in the Teenage Years of Jesus Christ, and also in the masculinity book, we deal with this. Shirking or working. If you shirk work, young men, you are not a man, you're a little boy. A boy views hard work as something to be avoided. He'll slink away, hide while others jump in and help. All right, the change from boyhood to manhood, that transition from boyhood to manhood is a change in the way you view labor. Okay, a boy feels like he's won if he was able to get out of work. A man feels cheated if he was denied the opportunity to help. Think about that. The Apostle Paul must have heard of reports of laziness in the congregation in Thessalonica, because he addresses it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that you may study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. In the second letter, he has to deal with it again. Chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which he received of us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now the Bible is very plain about this, and I know that we have a congregation that understands this and hears this, but it's good for us to say it, amen? And it's good for our young people growing up to listen and to be challenged by this. By divine inspiration, Paul pens the words of God, God's viewpoint on this matter of laziness. You know what? His viewpoint is this. If you don't work, you should not eat. Bible doesn't say if you cannot work. It says if you will not work, you should not eat. Period. Period. How about that? Period. You know, hunger is a great motivator. Amen. If you shirk work, you'll soon gain a reputation, shameful reputation among real men. Work is the proving ground. Listen, it's the proving ground of manhood. Work provides its own reward. Man who enthusiastically embraces a job can rejoice both in the work and after the work, for he will experience the joy of true biblical masculinity and the joy of accomplishing something that will remain. Galatians chapter 6, but let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. And the Bible is also full of rewards promised to those who will be diligent and work hard. The Bible teaches us that your life will be richer for being diligent. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. The opportunities in life that you have a chance to is presented to you will increase if you're diligent. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. And one of the great benefits of working hard is the doors that it begins to open for you. And you show me a young man that's got industry and has a quietness about him and a working spirit about him and a sharpness and an intellect to look and to watch and to learn and to grasp. And I will tell you pretty soon he'll have more work offered to him than he's got time to do. You'll gain a reputation one way or another. Best thing to do is gain a reputation of being industrious. Your heart, your mind will be healthier if you're diligent. Bible says the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul, think about that, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And so that's talking about your state of mind and your state of heart. God blesses hard work. God blesses diligence. Guard against laziness and sloppiness. Always work hard. Always put your best effort in. I want you to imagine this box is up here. Okay, boy, I wish. I know the heart of the slothful desireth and hath nothing. Well, you can spend your life wishing or you can get to work. Spend your life working. The more you work, the more you're going to see money flowing into that box, okay? And that's how it's got to go in there. That's the primary way. I'm going to give you some other ways that money can go into the box. We're going to talk about income tonight. But a lot of times people get all excited about the secondary ways of trying to get income in, but they will not deal with, they're looking for the how do I get money in there without doing anything. They're real excited about passive income, but passive income is not the major source of income. Should never be the major source of income. There was a guy that came to church here for a while, and he started a little business. The only problem is the business that he started, about once every 2 weeks, he'd get a 1 or 2 day job and couldn't pay his bills and was having financial trouble and couldn't put food on the table for his wife and babies, and finally had to pull him in my office. And I said, listen, I want to, and by the way, young man had been on his own since he was 14 years of age. A lot of times guys just don't know, okay? But that's what older men are for, okay? That's why you ought to listen to men, you know? Instead of envying someone that's successful, listen to somebody that's successful. And I pulled him in and I said, you know, the thing that you're doing, this little business that you're doing is a good secondary source of income, but it's not providing the needs of your family. And I told him, you have to get a job. I'm talking about a job where you have to go every single day. And then if you want to pick up these little side jobs, I said, a job that you get will take care of your wants. Some of the secondary income will then provide some extra things for your family, and that's the way you'll get ahead. But you can't take something that's only providing you a couple days work every couple of weeks and say, well, tell everybody, well, I've got a job. No, you don't. You've got a hobby. That's what you got. You don't have a job. You've got a hobby. And so I'm going to talk about other sources of income because I think there's other ways that the Lord has given us and allows us to see money go into the box. But I don't want you to get excited about these other ones and then forget about the first one, because the best way to consistently get money in that box is to go to work every day. every day. When I say every day, 6 days, God says, thou shalt work. On the seventh, thou shalt rest. And so 6 days. Didn't say five, four, three. Well, I only have to work 4 days a week. Good. Well, you're supposed to work six. Okay, so that means there's other things you need to be doing. Okay, maybe the Lord gave you a job where you don't have to work four, so you can come over and take an extra section over here and work for the Lord. Work for God. Do something extra for Him, okay? But you ought to be busy 6 days a week. 6 days a week, okay? Now let's talk about income. There's two main components about income. I just explained income and output, those things you have to understand. So in a month's time, if you want to break it down to a month or bi-weekly or a week at a time, there's money a certain amount of money that's going to have to flow into that box every month. Then there's going to have to be a certain amount of money that's taken out of that box every month. Now, obviously, if there's less going in than needs to go out, then you've got an issue. Okay, and it really is that simple. Somebody says, well, I'm not able to pay my bills. What should I do? Well, your issue is that you have more output than you have income. And I know this is elementary, but I want all these kids to learn this. It's time for even you all to really pick up on the concepts of this. Okay, so there's only two ways to fix that, okay? You either have to increase your income or you have to diminish your output. Okay, that's how you're going to become financially stable. And so you've got to increase income or you have to decrease output. Usually, if someone's having financial problems, it's a combination of those two things that need to happen. Okay, and so I want you to picture that box every month. I mean, we're getting ready to start month of February. I want you to, it'd be great if you just kept track of all of the income that flows into the box. And you ought to also then have a list of all of your bills, all of the output that's going to have to come out of that box. Okay, and you ought to be able to see then pretty quickly, am I upside down on this? Is there more going out that's coming in? And if so, is it that I need to increase my income? Do I need to decrease my output, or is it a combination of those two things? Now, what we're going to do and focus tonight on is generating income, okay? First of all, let me reiterate, okay, that income should be generated honestly and fairly, all right? Honestly and fairly. One of the verses we read there in Proverbs was this, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And if you're going to increase the income into your box by doing things that are unscrupulous or takes advantage of people or is dishonest, I promise you, God in heaven can scatter that income to the wind. You're not gonna win that game with God. And so make sure that all of the income that's going into that box is being put there honestly, generated honestly and fairly. Any income that's generated sinfully through lies, deceit, or unfairness or harmful trade, this will carry with it a curse. Make sure your income is generated biblically, and it should come into that box. I'm going to give you three different ways that it should go into the box, all right? Three different ways. Number one, I'll just reiterate what I already said. The number one way is labor, the sweat of the brow. Let's talk about labor for a minute, okay? Your income is directly tied to three aspects of your labor. Okay, the quantity of your labor, the amount that you're willing to work, the quality of your labor, and the value of your labor. Okay, so some people, they have not a lot flowing in because they're not willing to work but just a few days a week. And I always give an illustration about a man that was like that. Well, you know what? How about, let's first of all look at the quantity of your labor. How many hours are you willing to put in? I need to increase my income. Well, then do you need to increase your hours that you're working? There'll be a vast difference in your income from working 25 hours a week as opposed to 50 hours a week, assuming that the value of the labor is the same. We'll talk about value in just a minute. Now, I've already taught on the importance of a work ethic, but the Bible says this, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. Be wise, which having no guide or overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. I grew up out in the country. I've spent a lot of my time, boyhood years, looking at a lot of insects, you know. And I've watched ants. I've sat there and watched ants. I mean, I've spent time watching ants. Not because I knew this verse, but because I was a bored country boy, man. We didn't have video games, so we watched ants instead. And I've never seen an ant. I've never seen an ant swinging in a hammock. Never have. I mean, I've looked and looked, and I've probably looked at thousands of ants in my life, and I've never seen one over there hanging around the water cooler. All right? You know what? When the sun comes up, here they come, and they come out, and they get busy. And they stay busy till the sun goes down. God says, listen to me. You having some problems? Maybe you better go take a look at that anthill. Because first of all, it starts with the quantity of your work. Preacher, I'm working, man. I'm working 50, 60 hours a week, and we're still having trouble, okay? Now, let's just not look at the quantity of your work. Let's look at the quality of your work, okay? You may be working a lot of hours, but the quality of your work may not allow you to be as productive as rewarded as you should be. Now think about this. You may be at work, but do you first of all work hard? Are you taking too many breaks? Do you do sloppy work? You know, if I'm the foreman on the job and I can offer five guys overtime and I'm under the pressure from my boss to get this job done, you know what? There's a reason that you're never the one asked to stay in and earn some overtime. You know who I'm going to go to? I'm going to go to the guys that I know will put in the work and help get done what I'm being pressured to get done. Your boss, your foreman lives under pressure, okay? And he needs somebody that's going to show up and give 110%. And if he has that person's going to be used more than the person he has to babysit. So sometimes you got to look at the quality of your work. The long run, you may think that you're getting by, but this sloppy, lazy approach to work, it'll cost you income, and most of the time, eventually, it's going to cost you your job, okay? You're not going to be offered overtime or the promotion that others offered. You know, it'd be a wise question to ask your boss from time to time. Just go up to him and say, can I just have you be very honest with me? Is my work average or above average? Is there any way that I can improve the quality of my labor? How about asking those questions, all right? Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So if I'm going to put in 50 hours a week, what I need to do is put in 50 hours a week. And that means I'm working diligently, and I'm not only giving him quantity, but I'm giving him a quality of work while I'm there. Now, let me talk about value. How about the value of the work? Because that's very important. Okay, the marketplace will determine the value of your labor. Okay, you may be working a lot of hours. There's quantity. You may be working hard. There's quality. But the type of skill set that you possess is not in high demand or doesn't command a higher wage. All right, now listen to me, because a lot of guys are very hard workers and they work hard while they're there, but they're kind of stuck in a low-end paying job. And you know why? Because that's what the market has determined that their skill set is worth. Okay, now you can spend the rest of your life working hard and working diligently and making just a very, barely a livable wage, because that's all you're ever going to earn working that type of work. And so what you have to do is say, okay, I'm working 50 hours a week, and I'm making, you know, $500 a week, and this guy's working 50 hours a week, and he's making $1,200 a week. What's the difference? Well, the difference is that he's got a skill set that is in higher demand than your skill set is. All right, let me give you, for instance, and I'm going to say this out loud, okay? Most of the things I say out loud. I don't know why I say that, but I'm going to say this out louder, all right? So I love that. But California is right now, you know, blessed California, my little daughter's a missionary. California is now proposed to raise the minimum wage to $19 an hour. And you know what? They think that is the solution for poverty. And you know what? Like I said this morning, people say things and then people go, well, yeah, that would sure help people. What? What? Listen, do you know why minimum wage is a minimum scale? Because minimum wage rewards minimum skills. You make minimum wage because, you know what? They can train a monkey to do it. Not exactly, but I mean close. Close. I'm sorry, but if your only skill set is I can stand at this station and I can do this and 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 do this, and that's the only skill set you have, there's only going to be a certain amount of money rewarded for someone that will stand there and just do the same repetition over and over again, all right? So, listen, I want to help you. I'm not diminishing that. Thank God. I think those entry-level jobs are very important. I think young people ought to make minimum wage because they have minimum skills. But it ought to be also a motivation to you to start looking around saying, wow, I'm working as long or as hard as these other guys. And man alive, they're making three times. What do I have to learn? What do I have to know to be able to make that kind of money? And so we're talking about work and we're talking about, all right, you know, someone says, well, I'm a hard worker and I put in a lot of hours. So if there's still a problem, then what you need to do sometimes is say, well, okay, maybe it's time for me to go back and get some more education or take some classes or get a different skill set or an apprenticeship, you know, into a area where then there is a future, there is reward, there's going to be promise down the road, and I'm not going to be stuck forever sitting in this, you know, entry-level job with minimum skills that's only going to ever, I don't care if you worked there for 50 years, you're not going to make much more than you're making today. Okay, so that's where you have to take some initiative. That's why I encourage young men that they ought to learn a marketable trade. Okay, Jesus was a carpenter. Think about this. His earthly father figure, Joseph, taught him a trade. And this was a trade that he could earn what I call Marian money, or a decent, respectable living where he can support a family. And, you know, commentators suggest that Joseph died at a young age because he's not mentioned during Jesus' ministry, and Jesus was primarily responsible even to take care of Mary in her old age. That's why he handed that responsibility over to John at the cross. And, you know, some people say, well, I know it was God's time, God's perfect time, but maybe one of the reasons that Jesus postponed entering the ministry till he was 30 years of age is because he was the oldest child, and Mary had other children. He was the oldest child, so it fell on him as a skilled laborer provide for his mother and provide for the children until they were all of age. That makes sense if you think about it. You know what? Jesus, even though he was the Son of God sent primarily to die for the world, still taught us hard work and responsibility, and he didn't shirk his responsibility and hide behind ministry to do it. Okay? And so there's something we can learn here. All right? What is the value of our work? How can that work value be increased? So you ask yourself questions. Is there educational programs within the structure of the company that you're working on? And if they give you these opportunities, a lot of times they'll pay for increased education. And I'd never pass up an opportunity like that. I don't even think I'll ever do that. It's not going to hurt to know it. And if they're paying for it, it's going to open. You never know what walking through one door, how many doors will open once you walk through one door. So, man, learn everything that you possibly can, okay? If you're working in a job and they've got you stuck in one place, then I'd say, talk to the boss. I'd like to learn more of different responsibilities in different areas. I think that's wise no matter where you work, because the more that you know and the different places you can pull off and go to, the more you are going to be secure in the fact that they're going to keep you because you're not just knowledgeable in one area. You understand and know all the different areas. And so I don't care where you're at. That's just wise goods. And do you need to take some online classes? Should you apply for a trade skills apprenticeship program? You know, I was thinking of you, Brother Isaac, and I remember all those years that you were working all day long, and I'd watch you on Wednesday nights come in and also go into classes on how many nights a week were you doing that? Was it twice a week to earn an apprenticeship? He had to do that for 5 years, folks. But you know what? It was a reason that he took the time to do it. So he could, you know, earn that level of master electrician. So all of a sudden now the worth of his labor, the value of his labor, all of a sudden went to a higher. So listen, don't just get content. Don't just get stuck somewhere. Don't just, you know what? Look around within the company you're at. There may be opportunities where you can expand and learn, or there may be a time where you're like, you know what, there's never going to be an advancement here. Where else do I need to look, or do I need to pull out for a while, go back, get some education, take some night classes, tough it out for 5 years so that then I'm in a much better position for the rest of my life to be able to properly supply for my family. So we're talking about labor. Number one, generating income. We're going to talk about three things. I've already done with the first one now. Labor, but remember, quantity of labor, quality of labor, value of labor. Okay, that's going to determine income. So that's your primary source. Number two, passive income, or I would call it sometimes semi-passive income from diligence and diligent ideas. Proverbs 21, verse 5. Let me have you turn there. I think you're probably still in Proverbs. You may have your Bible open right there. But Proverbs 21 and verse 5, very interesting verse. Proverbs 21, 5 says this, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to what? Plenteousness. That's a wonderful word. I'd like to be in a financial situation in my life where there's plenteousness. Okay, so that Bible verse is saying that the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. That means that while you're working that job, okay, and you're earning that money, and that is your primary source of income, that you also then are diligent in your thinking. And your diligent thinking is this, you know what, is there other ways, besides what I'm doing here, is there other ways to funnel income into my box? And by passive, what passive means is basically that there is a way to generate income into the box that's happening while you're at work. There's other ways that money is going into the box besides just your labor. Now, again, it's where a lot of people get caught up in these get rich, they want to substitute labor. They want to find a shortcut. Listen, I'm talking about extra income. I'm not talking about stop working to do this, okay? Unless it ends up being a proven concept. We'll talk about that because sometimes you can switch passive income into a full-time situation just because it's going to earn you more, but let's talk about that, all right? Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent, again, we're talking about the soul or the thoughts of the diligent. We're talking about mind and heart. These verses refer to the thoughts and the soul of the diligent man. Thoughts are a product of the mind. Soul is the Trinity. Your preachers taught you this, mind, heart, and will. A diligent man asks God to give him ideas on how to generate extra income in addition to the income he receives through his labor. These ideas create an excitement. And that's what's talking about the emotions. Okay, the soul, it feeds your soul. Your soul is made fat because instead of sitting there discouraged because you're stuck in some dead-end thing and you can't see your way out, you begin to ask God to help you to do some diligent thinking. And that diligent thinking will tend to plenteousness. Diligent man asks God to give him ideas on how to generate extra income in addition to the income he receives through labor. Most people, if you look at what you earn in labor, it's making you so much and maybe providing your needs. And it's not like you have to double that in order to, but just a little bit more coming in on a regular basis will a lot of times make a huge difference on, first of all, what you can do in being generous to the Lord and helpful to other people. Also in what you can do as far as, making your life and your family's life better and taking some financial pressure off, maybe paying off a house quicker, paying off some debts that you need to pay off, or those kind of things. So we're talking about passive income, okay? Now, let me give you some ideas of passive income, some of the things that you can consider. And this is an exhaustive list, but this will hopefully get your thoughts going. Number one, all right, I got my income that's coming into that box just from hard work and for working my job. So I've got that. But I want to get some other income going into that box also. So number one, resources gained through fair employment. Now, what does that mean? That means that you may be in a position where you have grown a business or you're working a job, you've got a business, and the best way to increase your income is to hire somebody to work for you. I'll give you a for instance, all right? I started a mowing business when I was starting the church there in Brazil, Indiana. Okay, now my primary job and calling was to start the church in Brazil, Indiana. But on a church plant, there was not the people that came to that, the financial income to pay me a full-time salary. And so what I needed to do is be bivocational. A lot of pastors are bivocational, especially when they first start a church. And so but here's the issue. If I'm putting 50, 60 hours a week in to earn the money to provide for my family, then how much time do I have left to build a church? And now one of the reasons that we do encourage and we do sacrifice, and we send Brother James and men like him out to try to get sisters' churches to support him, is I think back and I try to learn from some of the things that I've gone through and experienced, but I thought, man, if I'd have had the first 3 years of that church plant to give 50, 60 hours a week into doing nothing but focused on building that church, that would have been a game changer for us. But so for a while, I worked 40 to 50 hours a week to supply for my family, and I was trying to pastor on the side. Literally. But you know what? Pastoring's a full-time job. And so you say, well, he works full-time and pastors part-time. No, a guy that's bivocational works full-time and pastors full-time. He's just doing 80, 90 hours a week. Well, then you've got an issue with the family then after a while where I'm not being for them what I need to be. So at some point, I begin to recognize and say, I need to come up with a way to make more money, okay? I need to lower the quantity of hours and increase the value of the hours. So what do I need to do to make the same income in a shorter amount of time? Now listen, I think one of the reasons God gave me direction here is because I'm not trying to figure out how to work 3 days a week instead of six so I can be lazy the other three. I'm trying to figure out how to earn the same money in 3 days that I was earning in 5 days, and so that I can then give the other time to working for the Lord and building a church. So I tell this story, you know, and my dad had a painting job up in Terre Haute. He was starting Wilford Baptist Church while I was starting the church in Brazil. And so he had a painting job, and he called me up and said, hey, I could use some help. And I said, yeah, I could use the income. All right, so we'll go over and we'll paint this house in Terre Haute. And as I was painting this house, helping on this job, the lady came out and told me, this was about August. She came out, she was talking to us, an older lady, and she said, do you know anybody that would come mow my yard once a week? And I said, I don't know anybody. And she said, well, it's my yard and my neighbor's. I oversee hers. And I said, okay. And I look around, it's a little postage stamp. And I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what, we're up here once a week, and I can do it for the rest of the year. I'm up at Terre Haute once a week. I'll throw my push mower in the back. I'll mow your yard, neighbor's yard. You just pay me whatever you have been paying, and I can get you. I did it mostly because she needed help, okay? And so I thought, I'll throw it in the back of the truck, and I'll take it up there, and I'll mow the lady's yard. And also, we could use the extra money. So the first time I do it, I take a push mower, and I mow her yard, and I mow the neighbor's yard, and I've got about an hour and a half into it total, and she comes out, and she hands me $60. And I'm going, I'm getting back in the truck, and I'm going, wait a minute. Ding! What just happened? I just spent an hour and a half push mowing 2 yards, and she paid me $60. Are you kidding me? And so as I went home, you know what? The thoughts of the diligence tend only to plenteous. And this is what I've been praying about. Lord, I need to be serving you, and I can't work in this church and get this thing off the ground and also have to be working this and, you know, not spending time with my family, and I need some help. Now, folks, listen, if you'll pray, it's amazing the doors God will open, the things God will help you with if you're motivated by the right thing. Just again, if it's all about the love of money, I hope God doesn't help you. Okay? If it's all about laziness, so that you can only do as little as possible, I hope God doesn't help you. And I don't think he will. He's a good discerner of the heart, intents of the heart, okay? But God saw the sincerity of my heart. So I started, listen, I finished that up, and by the next spring, I had did my research, and I bought a mower, and I got flyers, and I went to back to Terre Haute, and I went to certain neighborhoods in Terre Haute, and I passed it out in a matter of 2 years, in a two-year time. You know, I built a business where I would mow 2 days a week, 2.5 days a week. I mowed a half day on Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday, and I was making $30,000 a year mowing 2.5 days a week for about 6-7 months of the year. Okay, and that allowed me that I drove a school bus the rest of the time. And that gave me winter income, and it also provided insurance for us. And yet, school bus driving, hour and a half in the morning, hour and 15 minutes at night. Why? Because I got on my knees and said, God, I don't know how to do both these things. I want to be what I need to be for my wife and my children. I also know you've called me to do this ministry, and I need you to help me to think differently about income. Okay? Now, if he can do that for Jerry Ross, he can do that for you too. Okay? And so this is where you need to begin to think and begin to ask God to guide you and show you ways, all right? So resources gained through fair employment. I said that whole story to tell you this. There came a point in time where I had more people wanting me to do their yards than I didn't want to work more than 2.5 days a week. You know, my real goal was to become a full-time pastor where I only had to work 1.5 days a week. But up to prepare me properly for that, I thought I would work 2.5 days a week so I could kind of get used to it, all right? And anyway, I shouldn't have gone there, but I did. So I start thinking to myself, now, here's if you're not careful, here's what you think. Oh, man, well, if I can, I got a truck and I got the trailer and I got the mower and I got this. And if I can make $30,000 a week, then I could buy all that same equipment. I can hire a guy and I can make $60,000 a week, pay him a little bit, and I would be... And you know what, folks? That sounds so good. Well, one of the things that I want to tell you about is as you're doing this, when I talk about counseling, folks, I'm not talking about just spiritual areas. You're very wise before you make big decisions to talk to people. I talked to several businessmen who were successful. And I said, let me throw you. I know I'm just kind of this little whatever, but let me tell you what I'm thinking. And both of them looked at me and said, do not do that. And I said, well, the numbers make sense. The numbers might make sense. But that guy, number one, the guy you hire, is never going to care as much about your reputation and your yards and your equipment as you do. You want to spend all your time fixing something that somebody else tears up, and you want to go back and end up losing customers because he's trying to take shortcuts. And you'd have to find a very unique, and I'm not saying it's impossible, but you have to find a very unique individual. There may be such where you grow a business to a certain extent, though, and you can hire help that would help you to do things a little quicker where you could still oversee. And that's what I did. One day a week, I hired a young man, and I was able to bump my income up a little bit just because one day a week when I was doing a lot of the smaller yards, I could jump out, I could do the mowing, he could do the trimming, and we could get it done quicker that way, and I could increase the amount of, and I still was able to supply him a minimum wage income. You know why? Because he had minimum skills, all right? But also, he's on a learning curve. Because by the end of the summer, if he's paying attention, you know what? He's almost crazy to keep working for me. Because now he's learned how to do it. And I taught him how to do it. And you know what? After I sold my business, when I got hired here, I sold my business and put myself full-time in here. And, you know, I could have went to Dad and said, hey, Dad, 2.5 days a week, I could make a little over $30,000. But, you know, I got hired to be here, so I'm here. So I sold the business off. But that young man that helped me one day a week, now he didn't buy my business, but I heard later on to work his way through college, you know what he did? He copied what I did, and he made money doing it. And so you know what? What I'm saying is the thoughts of the diligent, okay? I need to work. I've got this full-time job. I need to work. But I also need to come up with ways to add income into that. That is what I call passive or semi-passive. Passive means that you got almost no effort into. Semi-passive means you might have to oversee it, put a little effort in it, but not much. For instance, let me give you another one. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is probably good. The illustrations you'll remember. But I went out and I preached for a preacher out in Pennsylvania last year. And a good man, been there quite a while. And his church is a full-time position. He does, they take good care of him there. But good care of a pastor, even in better churches, is not sometimes all that great. So he simply said he was talking to me one day, and we got to talking about it, and he said, I know what it was. I had stopped at an antique store because when I'm out of town, sometimes I go to an antique store to find something for Cheryl to bring back to her because I'm a wonderful husband. All right. So I was out there trying to be a wonderful husband. Well, instead of finding something for her, I found something for me, which Makes me a pathetic husband, all right? But I picked up this bow. It was a long bow. It's not a compound, just a long bow. And I picked it up, and it had a metal badge on it. It was made by Indian Archery. And it said on it, Evansville, Indiana. And I thought to myself, and it was older, and it was so cool, and I bought it. So I'm telling him, I said, I got to get this shipped home. I can't carry this on the plane. I don't know why they wouldn't let me carry a bow on the plane, but I could have used it as a walking stick or something like that. And he said, oh, I can ship it out. I ship stuff out all the time. I said, you do? And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, what are you into? Talk to me about it. He said, well, you know, a lot of times guys are doing stuff. They don't, yeah. I said, tell me what you're doing. He said, all right. He said, I never put more than 6 hours a week into this. Did you hear what I said? I never put more than 6 hours. I'm talking about passive or semi-passive income. And he said, if you notice the area we live in, there's a lot of upper scale neighborhoods. And he said, I started this about 10 years ago. And he said, every single Friday morning, I get up at the crack of dawn. And he said, I go out for about 3 hours and I hit yard sale after yard sale after yard sale. And I know what to look for. And he said, I become expert in a handful of areas. And then he said, I run an eBay store. And he said, the other 3 or 4 hours a week, he said, usually not even 6 a week, but the other 3 or 4 hours in my spare time, I fill orders and ship things out. And I said to him, I looked at him, and I said, wow. I said, can I be nosy? And he said, yeah, you want to know what I'm making? I said, yeah, I do. I want to know what you're making doing this. And he said, I've cleared every year about $20,000 doing that. Now, folks, that's what I'm talking about, passive income, okay? Thoughts of the diligent. And I said, what do you, now here, very interesting, folks. I said, what do you do? What do you do with that extra money? And he said, man, alive. He said, the tent meeting that we're having that you're preaching at, you know, we asked people to sacrifice to rent the tent. We couldn't have helped much on a pastor's salary. And then, you know, when missionaries come through and I feel, you know, there's things we could never give to, couldn't do, but now we're able to. And I said, but that's not all you do with it. Listen to me, folks. Listen. Stop being put on a guilt trip for being involved in capitalism. Okay? If you do something extra on the side, don't let people put you on a guilt trip if you don't give it all to God. You know, he said, I said, but it helps you to be able to do things for your family too. That, you know, he said, yeah, before we started doing that. I was given a vacation, but we never could afford to really take one. But now, he said, I can take my wife places and I can do some things and I can do some things for my grown kids that I wouldn't do. And you know what I said? Good for him. Good for him. If one of his church members ever whine about him taking his own time, investing 6 hours a week to make his life better, I'll personally go shoot that church member myself. Keep that in mind, okay? That's not carnality. It's called capitalism, all right? A lot of times people just frustrated, they're upset, and they're critical because they won't take the time to follow Bible principles. They get jealous of people that take the time. They want what they have, but they don't want to learn how to do it. Okay? So learn how to do it. Folks, I'm just going to say something, all right? Out loud. 60,000 started church. How to come like that from Blessed Hope Baptist Church's size. Don't come to me and start saying, well, we can only do so much. And I just, you know, don't start the murmuring and complaining. First of all, every man in this church needs to be behind their pastor on this. Okay? If we ain't got the money, it's not because Bible principles don't teach us how to do it. And a lot of times, folks do not want to apply Bible principles. They're either slothful or they won't learn the difference between the types of values of work or they're not diligent. Folks, listen to me. And me and my wife, if we wanted to, could almost do that ourselves. And it's not because y'all pay me so much. It's because we're sacrificial and God knows it. All right? So instead of being jealous and whining and complaining, learn what your pastor's trying to teach you. Okay, because if you'll make a promise, I'm going to dare you to do something. You make a promise and you say, God, our pastor said we need to raise $25,000. Excuse me, that'll be like that. That'll be like, do not say we can't do it. Be honest enough to say we won't do it. But do not say we can't do it. We're just a bunch of stinking selfish Americans for the most part. We could do it. Okay,
But a lot of the reasons that some people are stuck, you just don't understand our financial, okay, all right, they just stay stuck. But I've taught this how many times? Okay, think. Ask God to help you. Ask God to give you ideas. You know, in a very few hours a week with God's direction and God's help. And by the way, God knows your heart. If you're not willing to funnel that money to the right places, then I hope God never gives you an idea. Right. If you're just going to be selfish and you're just going to take it, you're just going to increase your standard of living and it's all about you, then that's probably why God won't help you. But if you prove your track record with God, so that's what we're talking about, passive income. You may need to hire somebody. And for some of you men that are employed or you have your own business, you may have to look at that. Number two, resources gained through financial investment. It's wise to have a portion of your money working for you. Okay, I think you young couples ought to start looking into retirement, looking into opening up retirement accounts. Time is your friend on this. Time is your friend. The earlier you get started, the better you're going to be. Resources gained through financial investment. Not as profitable as it used to be. My mom and dad's generation, you older folks' generation, when you were young, you could buy CDs and you could buy different things at the banks, and they would be pretty profitable, high yielding. They're worthless now. And so it's harder to get your money to work for you than it used to be before, thanks to our government. Resources gained through intellectual properties. If you're creative, you might either invent or create something that could create a stream of income. Resources gained. I talked about the pastor out in Pennsylvania through buying and selling. You might open a brick and mortar store and generate enough business to cover the overhead, pay the employees, and still make a nice profit. But boy, you better do your homework. You better do your homework. That sounds easy, but you better do your homework, okay? Technology, by the way, and online buying and selling has empowered some to create online stores, eliminating the cost of brick and mortar stores. And you're watching that. There's a reason Honey Creek Square and the big stores are going out and all of this is because a lot of people are switched to online shopping, and that's becoming more normal, which means it levels the playing field. You don't have to go do a brick and mortar, and you could still create an avenue of income through buying and selling, okay, because of technology. Buying and selling generated by understanding and identifying, listen, supply and demand. This is capitalism at its best, all right? When the pastor said, I knew what to look for, he wasn't just going out there and buying everything in a garage sale and putting it online and realize it's worth nothing less than he bought. He learned some things that he could turn, okay? By the way, in doing so, deal fairly with people and deliver what you promise. If you build a trustful reputation, you're going to create repeat customers who through word of mouth will help bring in new customers. Okay, this is business 101. I want to stop here, okay? Because I want to warn Christians against becoming involved in multi-level pyramid type sales schemes. I am begging you. And if they say, when you mention the word pyramid scheme, if they have a heart attack and swear they're not one, they probably are. Okay, these programs promise huge success that is almost never realized. And those who do realize it, listen to me, it often has given their souls to these companies to do them, all right, to earn that. I'd never get involved. I just want to say this to Christians. I never get involved in a sales endeavor of any kind that causes me to start seeing my friends, my neighbors, my family, my church congregation as nothing more than potential customers. I would not go down that road. I would not. And it started back in my day when I was young with Amway, and now it's turned into 1,000 other things, and it never ends well, okay? So number five, you know, because you at some point you're going to start failing at it, and you know what you're going to start doing? You're going to start saying, then you get bitter about it because not everybody wants to buy what you're offering, nor do they want to be somebody under you who's going to then make you money, okay? Those are called pyramid schemes. Don't get involved in them, okay? Number five, resources gained through real estate opportunities. This could include buying and selling property, buying, remodeling, flipping houses, rental property. But again, do your homework. There's great profit in that, but you've got to know what you're doing. Okay? And if you're doing it and you're hiring everybody else to do it, you're probably not going to make it. So again, do your homework. Resources protected through proper use of the land God has allowed you. And this is kind of a different way of doing passive income, but a lot of it, passive income, is just not so much income as it is a way of diminishing the output. And so think about it. It's amazing what a man can produce on 5 acres of property. Homestead skills, old-fashioned hard work, allow you to save on groceries by raising food on your own property, vegetables, planting a small orchard, raising chickens, cows, pigs, beehives, all of these can produce food for the table. Fishing and hunting has saved our family thousands of dollars over the years. Number next. There's 6 sources of passive income. It's not an exhaustive list. As a general rule, none of these should replace the steady income of your main job. That's where a lot of people do. They start making a little successful. Well, I'm going to quit my job and do this full time. I'm not saying it couldn't grow to that, but I would make sure that you do a proof of concept over a long period of time. This is going to generate enough income long term for me to give up my employment. It can grow to that, but usually that takes years. So be really careful, okay? All right, these are things you can do to supplement your income or as a part-time job. Now, all right, all of a sudden some of you guys, and we got idea guys in here. We got a lot of smart men in this church. I'm just flat telling you, we got a lot of smart men. And already you're sitting there going, bam, 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 bam. Now, let me give you a word of caution, okay? Look at me and listen to me. I'm telling you that there are endless opportunities out there. And you can do a lot of things. But if you're not careful, pretty soon, that's all you're doing. And I want to just say that when it comes to being a Christian, we've got to be careful that we do not make the pursuit of money in that box becoming the most important thing in our life. That's why the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And so maybe you're here and you're stuck and you said, you know what, honestly, I need to get just here. I don't need to get here. I need to get here. And I could take enough extra time to do that, but it's not going to make me quit my bus route or have to resign my Sunday school or never have time for soul winning, because, folks, you can get out there and listen. If you've got some brains about you and a little bit of drive, you can make a ton of money, and you can stand before the judgment seat one day having done nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so always be careful of the balance of life. You know, I want you to get to the place where you have enough so that you can live a decent, respectable life, be helpful to others and generous to the Lord. But listen, yeah, but if I did this, and if I did this, and if I did this, and pretty soon, your whole life is that, and that's not what life is. So just a little bit of a warning there, okay? All right, so we have income going to the box from a main source of our labor. Then we have passive income that flows in a little bit here and there because of other things that we've got going on the side, that makes that little buffer that kind of makes us be able to then be more obedient and to do extra things and take care of our family in a better way and not feel the pressure of that all the time. Then the last thing, number 3, and it'll just take a second, is providential blessing. Because, folks, listen to me. When God sees you being the steward that you ought to be, and God sees that you're diligent, and God sees that you're not a waster, and God sees that you're not slothful, and God's given you these ideas, watches you follow through with them in a proper way, and he sees you write that tithe check, and he sees you write that offering check, and he sees you give to mission, and he sees you give to things, then you know what? You know, our God is well able to just put extra things in that box in all kinds of amazing ways. That's one of the neatest things about, okay, here's what my income does. Here's passive income. That's going to help my family. But I'm also going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to manage this right. And God says, boom, good investment. So all of a sudden, you begin to receive things in different ways from the Lord that you didn't even factor in or think would come. That what is providential blessings? This is extra unexpected income that is gifted to you from God. It comes in answer to prayer. It comes when you have done everything you can and you need God to step in. It comes from a heavenly Father who cares for his children. It comes as a reward for being faithful in giving of your tithes and offering. It comes as a reward to good stewardship. It comes when we prove that we can be trusted with it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Okay, folks, be faithful in these things, and God's faithful to you. And I mean this, there is not a month that goes back by in our life where we do not receive something unexpected from the Lord. That just, I mean, it just happened 2 days ago. And my wife come over and hands me this, and I look at it and I go, what in the world? Where did that come from? You know? And you know what? We already knew, you know, we've got God's leading, and there's a reason, and we've been praying. And that's why I started to say, you know, I just dare you to do it. You know, you want to see God funnel money through you? Then tell him right now, tonight, come to an altar and say, anything extra that comes in between the end of now and February, I will give to the church plant. But I'm going to tell you, don't say that, not do it, because you better read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Well, I don't want him to give it to me for that. I want him to give it to me for me. That's why he won't give it to you. Okay? And you can walk around saying, well, we can't. And pastor's just unreasonable. And he needs to understand there's only so much our church can do. All right? Then just live that life. But I'm telling you, and when you go before the Lord, and I've asked you to, and asked the Holy Spirit what he would have you give, I'm going to warn you again. Don't you invoke the name of the Holy Spirit and you come up with the amount. Don't invoke the name of the Holy Spirit in any way unless you've genuinely gone to him and got specific leading. Because you better read Ananias and Sapphira. That was all about giving. Okay, they lied to the Holy Spirit that. I'm just telling you, you know what? God's going to figure you out. You can't fool him. And, you know, if you haven't been generous up to this point, why would he think you're going to be generous now? You can change that. But I'm just telling you, if you want to test case, just do it. Say, Lord, we'd like to do something incredible and unusual and meaningful because Jasper needs a church. Okay? And then you come and say, okay, Lord, so anything and everything comes in extra. And then watch what God does. And then I want to watch what you do. Well, I don't have to watch. God will watch what you did. But I'm telling you, yeah, it happens. It happens all the time. All the time. Okay, you know why? Because now for all of these, you know, years, me and my wife have tried to prove to the Lord and show the Lord that we're trustworthy. And when I said something about, I'm going to say this because Lord knows what y'all come out and say. When I say that I could do $60,000 by myself, it doesn't mean that we have $60,000 of abundance income. I just know that if it was only me and I needed to, I could get on my knees and I could get that money. So then why don't you just do it? Because I'm trying to bring you along on the trip. Because I'm trying to build your faith. Folks, listen to me. $60,000 in this day and age is not all that much money anymore. And it's nothing to God. I'm just telling you, I know my God. And if I felt like that is what God was telling me, I know he would come through for me. Because I've proved him. I've got utter confidence in the Lord. And it's a wonderful way to live your life. Okay, so take these things to heart and think about these things, because if you're willing to work, that's the primary source of income. You're willing then to let the thoughts of the diligent lead to plenteousness. You're willing to manage those things. Well, we're going to talk about next week about output. Properly manage the output. And then you're willing to trust the Lord. You will watch him do things that you could never do for you and through you. And so it's a wonderful way to live your life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask, dear God, that you would please continue to use our church. And Lord, I think that some of our struggles financially in the church is the result of us needing these principles. And Lord, I also believe that there's so much more that we could do and should do for you. Well, Lord, it's not going to happen if we don't apply the biblical principles. It's not going to happen if we live by sight and or not by faith, live by sight. It's not going to happen if we sit around making excuses. Help us to go to work. And then, Lord, I pray, well, we've got some great, 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 great young men in this church, young adult men in this church. Give them wisdom, guidance. Lord, help them to get counsel, carefulness, proof of concept. Just help them to learn the wise ways to advance their situation. Give them the right motives for doing it. Teach them, Lord, contentment. Teach them the joy of giving. Teach them what to do with abundance. May they build a trust with you. Because, Lord, there's so much in these last days. And boy, we need to be going full steam ahead. Breaks my heart. The average missionary is on deputation 3.5-4 years. 3.5-4 years to get to a mission field. And the Lord, we there's so much more that we need and can do as American Christians. Lord, lead us, guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's all